The following sermon is from Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Visit fbchurch.org/sermons for more.
So tonight we're going to look at Jesus' prayer in John 17. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, there's some in the middle right there. You can grab one or have someone pass one to you. You can tell a lot about someone's heart by what they pray, right? Have you ever heard someone praying and you're like, wow, that's really encouraging how they prayed for me, how they praised God. So tonight as we look at Jesus' prayer, I want you to be encouraged seeing, like, what does Jesus actually care about? What is he after? What does he want? So there's a lot of things you can tell about someone when you look at them. Like, see this father and son, they've taken on similar characteristics. The dad likes the big motorcycle, the son likes a little motorcycle, right? Sometimes when you're around someone, you know them really well, you start to be kind of like them. Like this father and son, they both like chilling on the couch, drinking some kind of flavored water or something. Or like this dad and his son, they like working out, right? So sometimes the more you're around someone, the more you know them, the more you become like them. So much so that you could look at that person and say, I bet that person has been hanging out with so-and-so because they start doing stuff. Like if you saw me start doing like amazing parkour all the time, you'd probably think I was hanging out with Noah, right? Not that I could do that with my 37-year-old body, but like this father and son, they both are hoorah into the Marines. So a lot of times people become like their dad or their mom or their best friend or their spouse. People become like people that they're around a lot and that they love. And we're going to see in Jesus' prayer tonight, he's praying that we would be like him. Not that you would ride a sweet motorcycle like him or be really buff like him or sit on the couch like he does, but that you would act like he acts in such a way that other people would see you and think, that person must know Jesus. And they would actually see you and think Jesus was actually sent by God the Father. They would see Jesus' truth through your life. So Jesus prays really one thing to this end, that you would be like God. He prays that God would keep you knowing him and believing in him. And that's really encouraging. You might be thinking, I'm 16, I'm 12, I'm 17, I'm 14. How am I going to keep believing in Christ and keep knowing him my whole life? Well, Jesus prayed to God the Father that God would keep you believing in him and knowing him. So if you know him now, you can be confident he's going to keep you knowing him, and you can pursue knowing him better because of that. So what is it that you will be like as you get to know God? Some people really like big trucks. Like if I were a Horning, I would have a truck, right? I'm not sure what happened with Joel's last vehicle that he got, but I'm sure he wanted it to be a big truck. It's just being economical, right? So certain families, it's kind of a characteristic. Or if I were a Voss, I would ski, right? It's just true that Vosses ski. If you saw me with some skis and I looked like Garrett, you'd be like, hey, that must be your brother, Garrett, that you never had. Because some families are really musical. They're just so talented. They just can touch and play like any kind of instrument. So there's different things that you would see about someone and say, they must be related to that person because they're like each other. Different cultures have things that make them distinct. For example, in Spain, guys always kiss girls on the cheek. Like, not actually their lips touch the cheek, but just like cheek touches cheek. So cheek, and then cheek. And then in Latin America, sometimes it's just one side, so just right side. The awkward thing is if you're like going from this side to this side and you accidentally like hit noses or you bump your cheekbones into each other, like things can happen. I've never been to Russia, but in Russia, men kiss each other on the lips. Thankfully, in Spain, guys don't have to kiss guys. We just like shake hands or like a nice side hug. So none of that scruffy, you only kiss girls on the side, so that was way better than having to kiss guys because we're always scruffy and it's not good. But in Russia, guys kiss guys on their lips. So if you see a guy kiss a guy on the lips and they're like totally just, you know, regular old guys, it's probably Russian, you know. Guys in Pakistan, they hold hands. When I was in Pakistan, I'd be walking through the market and this guy would be like just holding my hand, just talking to me. And there's nothing weird going on. We were just hanging out, just friends. In Kenya, the same way. In Pakistan, you have to drink 3 cups of tea before you ask to borrow a shovel. It would be so rude to just be like knocking on your door. Hey, Campbell, can I borrow your shovel? That would be so rude. I go sit in your house. We drink like 3 cups of tea and talk for like an hour. And then I might ask you if I could borrow your shovel. It's just, that's the custom. So if I had you to my house and we had like lots of tea, I might figure out that you're a Pakistani if you didn't ask me for what you're going to ask me for like an hour until we had all the tea. In Kenya, we would say, praise the Lord, wana safiwe, as a greeting. So you might think that's kind of weird, but there's lots of Christians in Kenya. So some places, they're really unique with what they eat. This is a pile of fried spiders. Have you ever eaten a fried spider? This town in Cambodia, the town of Skuon. Have you guys ever been to Skuon before? I'm not even saying it right, I'm sure. But Skuon, Cambodia, they fry spiders in MSG. And they're pretty tasty, but the innards of the spiders still have excrement and old bugs and stuff. So that's pretty gross when you get to that part. But they're pretty chewy, pretty meaty. They have a sweet, salty kind of flavor. They say, I've never had these, but anyway. You were getting pretty impressed there for a minute, but no, I have not eaten those. So it would be unique enough to identify you. So if someone was like, you go to their house and they're cooking up these fried spiders, you might be like, no way, you must be from Skuon, Cambodia. I had no idea. But now that I see you eating that fried spider, I'm pretty sure. So this is it's an identifying, unique characteristic of that person that would show you that they're from a certain place. Or take Greece, for example. In Greece, they don't believe in the tooth fairy. Rather, when a child loses their tooth, they take it and chuck it on the roof for good luck, and so a healthy tooth will grow in its place. So if you see a kid, pull the tooth out, go outside, and chuck it on the roof, you're like, no way, I didn't know you were Greek. I had no idea you were part of a Greek family. I had no idea. So you would just find out by watching them throw that tooth on the roof. So what is it that Jesus wants us to have that would show that we are with God, that we're part of God's family? What is unique about God? It's not the kind of spiders he eats. It's not that he throws his teeth up on the roof, because that's not a thing for him. Short answer is everything. God is different from us. He is other. There are so many things about God that are different than us in so many ways. Although we are made in his image, he is unique in every way. But we get some ideas from John about ways that God is unique, that perhaps Jesus is praying that we would be these things so that people would see that we're with God. So how are people going to see you and think, huh, I think Cameron must be with Christ, like the way he acts. I think Annalise must be with Christ. How are people going to see you and think that? Some ideas from John, how he loves us and serves us, even though he's our creator. Remember, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He died on the cross, taking their sins on him, being punished with the wrath of God the Father when he didn't deserve that. That's a pretty unique kind of love. Who does that? Who's the master, the king, and they die in the place of their servants who have been wicked? That's unique. And when you have that kind of love for other people, a love that's willing to give your life and sacrifice for them, people are going to say, I wonder if they're with Jesus. They're going to start believing in Jesus as you share the gospel with them. His peace, he has peace that's far different than the way the world gives. It's because of who he is and his control and his sovereignty. In spite of everything being messed up around, he has peace. His joy, his delight in who God is and obeying the Father and loving his perfect righteousness and always doing the right thing. These are things that are unique about God that he wants to share with us so that when other people see us, they would say, those people are with God. They're in God's family. They are like Christ. And they're going to believe as you share the gospel. They could believe as they see that Jesus was sent by the Father. Or they won't believe, but they'll see the reality of your life. So what's the goal of Jesus' prayer? You can look at this on your sheet. What is Jesus' goal in his prayer? He wants us to be one with each other in such a way that the world would see that the Father sent Jesus to save the world. He wants us to love each other like he loves us because of how we know him. He wants you to have this unity where people see how you love each other and they think, God the Father sent Jesus, and God has loved you with his love because the way you love each other, this can't be explained any other way. So think about your life. Is the way you love other people such that people can see something's different about your love? Like if you just love other people that are just like you, if you just love people that are exactly the same as you and like the exact same things, like on Nacho Libre, that's my exact same color too. Those are all my favorite things too. If you're just loving the people that are just like you, then that's not showing something necessarily unique, although that could be produced by God. But when you love people that are different than you, when you love in a way that isn't just self-serving, even if you love people that are similar to you, but you love them in a way that's sacrificial, that isn't just because of what they can give you, you're showing that you belong to God. And that's Jesus' prayer. He's praying for you and I that we would be one in how we love each other and how we care for each other and how we love him and how we live for him and how we have his peace and his joy, so much so that people would say, those people know God. Do you want that for your life? Do you want people to be able to look at you and say, that person must know God. They must have life with God. And as you share the gospel with them, it's going to be believable that God sent Jesus because of how you love people around you. Is that how you love other people? What would that look like in your life? Think about what would be a way you would be able to sacrificially love someone else. Maybe there's no one you can die for right now. I hope none of you die this week. Maybe there's no one that you're going to just like throw yourself in front of a bullet for. But how can you practically love your friends and those who aren't your friends yet in a way that is showing them Christ's love? It could be pointing them to Christ, praying for them, speaking of Christ to them. It could be just being a friend. It could be sharing with them practical things, helping them, loving them, caring about them. Having a care that comes from you knowing that God cares for them. Let's look at Jesus' prayer in John 17 and see some things about how Jesus prays that should encourage us to pursue the goal that he has for us, to pursue loving each other the way that he loves us. So John 17, verse 9, Jesus says, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. When Jesus says world here, he's talking about everyone who's in the system that's in rebellion that's saying, forget you, God. I don't want you. No, that's not for me. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to live at my own beat. I'm not going to do what you want. Jesus is praying for those who have been rescued out of the world and have been given to him. Verse 10, all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So what is Jesus praying? First, he's praying for all of us who belong to God the Father and have been given to Jesus. Think about that. People that believe in Jesus actually belong to God, and he gives them to Jesus as a gift. So if you believe in Jesus, God the Father has given you to Jesus and said, here you go, Jesus, this is a gift. These people are yours. I'm giving them to you. And so you now belong to God the Father, and you belong to Jesus. That's really good news. You might not feel like you belong to like the coolest gang at your school. You might not feel like you belong to the coolest group, even at youth group. You might not feel like you belong to the best family or this awesome thing at school or a club, but you belong to God, the Creator. You belong to the ultimate, the highest one, if you know Jesus. So that's something to take courage in. And because you belong to him, you can be like him in how you think and how you act. Jesus says that he's going to be glorified in us. He wants to show off his awesomeness. When he talks about glory, it's like showing how huge he is, how amazing he is, how boss he is, how wonderful he is. He's showing himself through us. So Jesus receives us, the Father gives us to Jesus so we can show off who God is. That's his desire in this prayer and in his ministry, is that he wants us to know him and then to show others who he is. Because there's nothing better. Like if you were a movie theater and you could just show the best movies all the time or the worst movies, you would be a bad movie theater person if you showed the worst movies. You need to show the best movies, right? Not the horrible, terrible, boring movies. And God wants your life to not just show who you are, but to show who he is. That's the best thing that you can show anybody. Way more satisfying than a movie or anything else. Jesus says in the context of his prayer, I'm no longer in the world, but they're in the world, and I'm coming to you. This is why he's praying for us, because he's leaving the world. Remember, the disciples were pretty scared and worried because Jesus was leaving. And he's saying, I'm still going to be with you because I'm sending you my, what? Who's he sending? The Holy Spirit is going to be with you and be in you. And I'll be in you, and the Father will be with you. So that's the comfort, and that's why you can be like him, because he's actually in you. You are with him, and you're one with him, and you're with him. So here's Jesus' prayer request. He prays, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So when he says, keep them in your name, he's saying name is like reputation. It's who someone is. He's saying, keep them in your name. And like this, think about his name as like a pool. Saying, keep them in knowing you, in knowing who you are, in loving you and believing in you and beholding you and seeing you. He wants to keep God the Father to keep us seeing how awesome he is. Why? That's the best thing for you. That's the thing you need the most and thing I need the most, is to keep seeing God as he is so I can love him. All the time, every day when I get up, I'm so guilty of thinking of God really lowly, thinking that God won't satisfy me. Oatmeal will. God's not going to satisfy me. My coffee will. God can't really satisfy me that much. If I go accomplish a bunch of stuff, then I'll be happy. God won't satisfy me. My kids need to do everything just the right way so that I'll be happier. My wife. But God is so awesome. He wants to change my thinking about him every day and show me that he's better than all the other things in the world, and that I can really be satisfied in him. So Jesus is praying that God would keep us seeing him, believing in him. And what is his goal in that? Look at your sheet. Jesus' prayer request has the goal, his prayer request is keep them in your name, and then the goal is the thing right above that, that we would be one with each other so the world would see that God, we know God. So he wants us to be kept in the Father's name so that we would be one as he's one. So we're going to talk about that more in a minute, but Jesus is one with the Father in what way? Are they the same person? No, they're both God, but they're different persons. And Jesus hears the Father's words and he does the Father's works. And so you can be one with God, and then we can be one with each other as we hear the Father's words and do the Father's works, as we hear Jesus' words and do his works. So as he makes us like himself, as we hear his words, we love like he loves, and then we're one because we're all in the same thing. Like I just told you earlier, my family's into bike riding right now. We're into bikes, but pretty much like street bikes, like They're big tires, but we stay in the street pretty much. Sometimes we go on like simple trails that are flatter. Nothing like what Seth does. No like intense like flipping head over tail, like going all down the hill and doing all this crazy stuff. We don't do that stuff. We're into bikes. Some of you guys are into Marvel or DC Comics. Some of you are into like the Avengers series. Some of you are into Instagram. Some of you are into Snapchatting, all those like billion faces you can make. And it's so funny every time to like see a different cat face on your head. We're into different things. Jesus wants us to be into him. That's what makes us one. That's what unifies us. We're all into different stuff. But there's one thing that all of us can be into that's more amazing, more powerful, more a bigger mass. It's like a sun that pulls us all together, and that's God. Jesus wants God to keep us knowing him and believing on him so that we're going to all be together because all of us are most into him. Like, why am I good friends with, like, Josh Sturm? He's way cooler than me. He plays golf, and he's really good at golf. He's like in the world's system, we wouldn't necessarily be that great of friends, although we have some things in common. But because of Christ, like, we both love Christ, so that makes us, that draws us together. My best friends are people that I am close to because we both love Christ a lot. We may have some things in common, we may not, but it's because of Christ. That's what pulls us together. So that's what Jesus is praying, that we would be kept by the Father, believing in him and knowing him. Look further at verse 12. While I was with them, Jesus says, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So Jesus has given us, he's given us his word. He's given us his joy. What is his joy that he's given us? He's told us all these things because he wants us to have joy. He wants you to have joy. What is joy? It's delight in God. It's delight in loving God and knowing God and who God is. It's this internal delight in your relationship with God. You can have the worst day ever. You can have a bad hair day. You can have a bad day with your friends. You can have a bad day with your parents. You can have a bad day struggling with other stuff. You can get a bad grade on a test. You can get kicked off of your sports team. You can get your trombone run over by your car. But if you have a relationship with God, you can still have joy because you know that the one who matters most loves you. And he says, you're mine. Jesus says all these things about the Spirit being given to us and about us abiding in him, so we'll have joy. Look at verse 14. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So he's saying we've been changed. Our way of thinking is not, forget you, God, I hate you. Our way of thinking is, I love you, God. I want to please you. So we're different. We've been changed. We're not of the world, and so the world hates us because it's convicted. It sees something different in us. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So Jesus' second prayer request for us so that we would be one and be like him. First, that God would keep us in his name, keep us knowing him, believing in him. Secondly, he prays that God would keep us from the evil one. What does the evil one want to do? It's Satan, right? He's not running around with a pitchfork trying to poke you. He's not going to try to poke Roman. That's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to lie to you. Satan's way of destroying people is lying. He says, God's not good. You got to just do your own thing. God doesn't really care about you, or you just make God in your own image, or whatever one kind of lie. He's got a billion lies he'll use. That's how he wants to destroy people, is by lying. You have to make yourself happy with sin because there's no other way to really be happy. He tells all kinds of lies. And Jesus prays that God the Father would keep us from the evil one, keep us from believing his lies by keeping us believing in him, believing in the truth, keeping us in his name. So that's encouraging. If Jesus prays that God would keep you from the evil one, deceiving you with lies, you can trust that God will do that. You can trust that God is going to listen to Jesus and answer Jesus' prayer request. Does Jesus know what God's heart is? Yes, because he's God. So if he prays this, you can be confident he's going to do it. They're not of the world, Jesus says, just as I am not of the world. Talking about his disciples and those who believe through his disciples. Then he says his third prayer request, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in the truth. So Jesus prays that we would be sanctified in the truth. We would be set apart. We would be made holy. Remember we talked about how God is unique? Not because he eats funny spiders or throws his teeth on the roof. God is unique in how he loves. He's unique in his joy and his peace and his righteousness, his commitment to do what's right. Jesus is praying that God would make us holy, that he would make us like God. He would set us apart to be with God and to be like God in his truth, in his word. He uses his word, not just because you read it, but because you hear it and you meditate on it and you believe it. He uses his word to change us, to make us like him. So Jesus is praying that God would make us holy. Imagine if you had a toothbrush you used to clean your toilet. And your toilet, when the worst things happen in your toilet, you use that toothbrush to clean it. That toothbrush is not holy. It's been profaned. It is defiled. You will not use that toothbrush in your mouth. That would be horrible to clean your toilet bowl with your toothbrush and then use it in your mouth. That toothbrush needs to be sanctified. It needs to be set apart. It needs to be made holy again, if that's even possible. I would recommend burning it. Start a fire in your fireplace and burn it. What God does through the cross, he takes us, imagine you're that toothbrush, and he changes you into a brand new toothbrush in the package, just like you got from the dentist. He changes your heart. Even though functionally you still act like that toothbrush in the toilet bowl sometimes, he makes you in position that perfectly clean toothbrush that's worthy of being used in your mouth. That's what setting apart means. He uses his word to change you from being that toilet bowl cleaner to being a real toothbrush, from being that spoon that's used to clean out the slugs in the garden, those Japanese slugs that can give you brain parasites, to being a spoon that you could use. You can read about it on the internet. You can use it to giving you, making you a spoon that's worthy of eating soup with, right? He makes you holy. Think about your brain. How much garbage can go through your brain? Thinking about yourself too highly, thinking wrongly about yourself, thinking wrongly about other people, sinning with your mind. God makes you holy. He takes that mind that you've used to sin and he purifies it through Jesus. He sanctifies it using his word. He washes it so that you can think rightly and you can love him and relate to him. He takes your mouth that you've used to gossip, that you've used to argue with your parents, that you've used to complain about not liking broccoli and peas, that you've used to say lies, and he purifies it so that you can love him and talk to him. He takes your hands that you've used for evil and he uses them. He changes you, purifies you, makes you worthy of doing good with his by his grace. So he does this amazing, miraculous transformation. He sanctifies us. And he keeps sanctifying us because we need that to keep on happening because we keep getting ourselves dirty again. He sanctifies us in his truth, in the word. And then Jesus sends us. As God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus sends us. Why does he send us? So we can show people who he is. He's very passionate about showing who he is to the world, to the nations, to everybody. That's what he wants to use with you. Wherever you go to school, wherever you work, wherever you end up living now or later, he wants to use you to show people who he is. And you might think, how can I show people who God is? Do you think that God, if he lives inside you, is powerful enough to show people who he is through you? He is. That's why he sends you. He goes with you. And Jesus says, for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. This is really the same word as sanctify. Jesus sanctifies himself so we can be sanctified in the truth. What does he mean? Was Jesus dirty? Was he ever that toilet bowl cleaner? No, he never was. He was perfect. He was holy. He never sinned. He never thought an impure thought. He never used his hands or his tongue for evil. He set himself apart like a lamb that's going to be sacrificed, a lamb whose throat is going to be slit and he's going to be put on the altar and burned. He set himself apart like that. He took himself and he set himself apart to be offered to God as a sacrifice. In the Holy of Holies in heaven, he took himself and said, all of our sin gets put on him and he offers himself to God the Father so that we could be sanctified in the truth, in truth. We could be made holy and right in the truth of who God is. That's why you can show people who God is. That's why you can love the way God loves. That's why you can put off being selfish and doing everything just for yourself because Jesus died to change you. So he prays this, but he doesn't just pray it. He also acts to make it happen. He sets himself apart to die on the cross so that you and I can know him and be in his family. That's good news. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You see here again the goal of his prayer. He asks not just for his disciples, but for everyone who believe in Jesus through their word. And believe in and that's us. We've believed through the word of the disciples and everyone else who will believe until Jesus comes back. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. So you see what he's praying? That God would keep us, that he would set us apart, make us holy, so that we'll all be one, just like the Father and Jesus are one. Just like Jesus hears the Father's words and does the Father's works, and that they have the same heart, that we would have the same heart to put others first, to forgive, to love people the way God loves them, to want to share God's glory and love with them. He gives us that heart so that people would believe that the Father sent the Son because of how you live. So ask again, are you trusting in Jesus to help you to live in such a way that other people see that the Father sent the Son? He wants to help you to have that kind of love for other people. Do you love your siblings, the ones that are really annoying? That's a good place to start. Ask God to help you to love them in such a way that they see that Jesus is living in you and that the Father sent Jesus. Do you love that person that's not very popular at your work or your school or in your co-op? Do you show them that Jesus is real by how you love them? Do you love that person at youth group that maybe doesn't have a ton of friends? Showing them that God is real, that he sent Jesus, and you have been loved by him. Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I've given to them. Jesus gave us his glory, not in the sense that you shine. Some of you might shine a little bit, but it's not like that, right? He doesn't give us his shininess that way. He gives us his glory in the sense that he makes us like him and helping us to love like he loves. He helps you to be like he is so that you can love like he loves. He changes our hearts, that they may be one even as we are one. That was his goal in giving us his glory, is that we will be one like he is. I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them as you love me. Look at that. God the Father has loved us the way that he loved Jesus. How can you share this kind of love with other people? How can you sacrifice to love others? Because you've been richly and deeply loved. In spite of your sin, in spite of how you rebelled against God and rejected him, he's loved you and me. He's died in our place. He's given us a relationship with him, not because of what he could receive, but because of what he wanted to give, because of who he is. So we can love others and give to them because of how he's loved us. Because God the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in us by his Spirit, so you can do what he does. And you cannot do what he doesn't do, because he's in you. Not because you try really hard, not because you're like, oh, I'm going to be a good Christian today. No, because you remember that Jesus is in you, and he's given you his own life so that you can live like him. Verse 24, he says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus wants us to come up to heaven and see how he is, to be where he is. So he's going to come back one day. He's going to rapture everyone who believes in him. We're going to see his glory. He's going to come back to earth and show everyone his glory. We're going to be with him when he does that. We're going to see him and be with him where he is, in heaven, where he is now. We're going to be with him on the new earth, in the new heaven, in the new Jerusalem. We're going to be with him and see him. That's what he wants. It's like when you get a new house or something or a new car and you're like, hey, come check out my new car. It's really sweet. You get in and it smells like a new car and it's like, vroom, vroom, it's all nice and runs nice and there's no scratches outside yet. You want to show it off to somebody. Jesus has the best thing, better than a new car, better than a new iPhone, better than a new house, than a new TV, better than a vacation. He has himself. He wants you to see him. And so he asked God that we would be with him where he is. And that's going to happen. God's going to answer that prayer request. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So Jesus prays that God the Father would keep us in his name in verse 11. And here he says, I've made known to them your name, and I'll keep making it known to them, so that the same love that you love me with will be in them and I in them. So Jesus is saying, this is what I'm going to do. Check this out. I'm going to keep making myself known to you so that the same way that I've loved you, you're going to be able to love other people and I'll be in you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to keep helping you to see who he is. Even right now, as we look at John 17, he wants to show you himself so that then you can love other people the way that he's loved you by showing him to them. That's what he wants to do. Not because you're like the best Christian or you come to church all the time or you pray a lot. Just because he wants to. Because he's good and he wants to show himself off. He's going to make himself known to us. And then he's going to pray. He prays that God would keep us in his name. Keep us believing in him and knowing him. So my question is, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Do you know that he really did come to earth and die in your place and raise from the dead? He did that for you. Do you know that that's true? Do you believe? Do you want to give yourself to him because of that? That's what he wants. He wants you to give yourself to him. So his prayer request is that the Father would keep us in his name. He would keep us believing in him and seeing who he is. That the Father would keep us from the evil one so we wouldn't believe lies. And the Father would sanctify us, make us holy, make us like him through the truth of his word. So what do these prayer requests mean? Keeping him in his name, we already talked about, is believing in him, him keeping us submitting to him keeping us devoted to him, keeping us from the lies of the rebellion against him, and then him setting us apart for a relationship with him. It's like him giving you a ring, saying, here, I want you to be mine. I'm going to keep you in a relationship with me. He gives us his Holy Spirit. It's like his ring saying, here, I'm with you now. You're mine. I love you. And I want people to see that you belong to me and to see who I am. He's keeping us. Jesus always heard the words of the Father. He did his works. Those who saw Jesus saw God the Father. So when God keeps us in Jesus' name, he keeps us hearing the words of Jesus and doing his works so that everyone who sees us is able to see that we're with God and that God was and Jesus was sent by the Father. What does Jesus do to make us one? We've already seen these things in the passage, but just reviewing them, he asked the Father to glorify him, like Seth preached last week. As he's dying on the cross, he's showing us who God is. He prays to God on our behalf. Do you think that God, the Father, hears Jesus' prayer requests? Do you think that he's going to answer them? Yeah, you can be confident that he wants to work in your life because of what Jesus has asked. Jesus sends us. He sets himself apart to die on the cross. He gives us his glory. He makes the Father's name known to us. All these things so that we'll be one. So I encourage you, you and I can be one. We can be united in the same heart, the same mind, loving each other like Christ loves us, loving God the way that Jesus loves God. How? Listen to John 1, 12, 13. We need the gospel. We need to believe in Jesus and be born into his family in order for this to happen. You can't be like him unless you're born of him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So who gets to be born into God's family? Anyone who hears Jesus' words and believes him, anyone who receives him as their Lord and their Savior, he gives them the right to be born. It doesn't mean you're born an American or a Syrian or a Mexican. You're born into God's family. A second birth. He gives you a new heart that says, yes, God, I love you. I see that you're real. I want to worship you. I see that you're good. That's what he wants to give you. So if you're listening to all that I'm saying and it sounds like a bunch of silliness, like what is he talking about? Loving people like God's loved us? I don't even get that. This is what you need. You need to receive Jesus. You need to believe in him. And he'll give you an understanding of who he is and a heart that believes. Ask him for that. So what do we do? So what? First, we need to make our goal to love like Jesus loves, to be like Jesus in every way possible. Make that your goal. I want to love like Jesus loves. But don't stop there. You need to keep looking at Jesus so we can be one together as we were made like him. You can't just try to love like Jesus loves and that's enough. You've got to look at Jesus and remember how he loved. If someone's mean to you, if they're like hurting you all the time, well, that's not appropriate. But if someone's being mean to you, how do you forgive them? You remember how Jesus has forgiven you. That's how you can forgive someone who's mean to you. You can forgive them by remembering how Jesus has forgiven you. If you're trying to love someone that's not giving you anything back, it's not a mutual relationship, how do you do that? You have to remember how Jesus has loved you when you were giving him nothing. He's loved you first, and so you can love someone else. We need to keep looking at Jesus, and then we need the Father to keep us looking at Jesus and loving like Jesus. So how do we keep loving like Jesus loves? The Father keeps us doing that. He keeps us looking at Jesus. So does that mean we do nothing? We just sit on the couch and like, cool, this is pretty sweet. God's going to keep me loving Jesus. So I'm going to do zero. I'm just going to chill. This is all done. No. Paul says in Philippians 2, work hard at your own growth spiritually because God's working in you. So if you know that God's going to keep you, work hard at loving Jesus and looking at him. And the gospel is that we can trust God to do this in us. He's going to keep us knowing him and making him known. So a few discussion questions you can talk about in your groups. I would encourage you, remember, Jesus prayed for you that you would keep believing in him and loving him. So you can, trusting in him. So go spend some time in your groups talking to each other. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this sermon audio from Faith Bible Church. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us online at fbchurch.org for more sermons, articles, and other resources, as well as information about our ministries.